but it's been the best week of my professional life, and I think it's going to lead to the best times of my personal life. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you. The trust and the confidence that you placed in me and my family to come here, and you know, I know what this place is, and to think that I can stand here and be a part of it in this role, it's an opportunity of a lifetime for all of us, everyone in my family.
Live from 50th and Capitol Avenue in the Big O, this is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and 1620 The Zone TV. Now here's Gary, Nick, and Jimmy.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right, good Wednesday morning, everybody. Welcome in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Jimmy here as well on 1620 The Zone.
That's what he should have said.
.com, also on TV or wherever you may consume this program. Glad to have you in on a Wednesday. Troy Dana now officially the athletic director at Nebraska after his little meet and greet yesterday. Does anybody ever have a bad introductory press conference?
Les Miles was front and center for that.
At KU?
Oh, yeah.
What was so bad about him?
I don't think he was all there, which is a prerequisite for the job, and the results that would happen over the next couple of years verified that thought I had.
Now, Jimmy, that's awful hard. Did you ask him?
Maybe he had a bad night.
Did you walk up and knock on his noggin and go, hello?
Hello? Hello?
Nobody there. Shall we eat
think less. Think. Anybody home?
But does anybody have a bad,
normally
like
no.
introductory press conference? You always say, you know, the hot phrase is you won the press conference.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now I have long ago stopped judging somebody off their opening press conference.
Right.
But I do know that there are a couple of bad ones. Mm-hmm. Like Herm Edwards being surprised that Arizona State's nickname was the Sun Devils. that was kind of awkward. Now Nick Sirianni had a bad opening press conference with the Eagles, like a really, really bad opening press conference. And he turned around and he went to the Super Bowl. So, you can't just say, well, if you don't win the press conference, you're not going to win on the field.
Well, there was the Adam Gase New York Jets one where we just thought he was on something.
That was very awkward.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
And
that didn't work out very well, if we remember correctly, too. So
how are people feeling after yesterday?
I think fine. I wouldn't say, oh, like let's think of the two most memorable press conferences, introductory press conferences in the last 2 years, Matt Rhule, and then now a new athletic director in Troy Dannon. I didn't walk away from listening to yesterday thinking, damn. But I didn't need to, especially from an administrator role, because we talked about this when he was first hired, and you said this is a good hire. And
yeah, I'm gonna be pretty steadfast on that. It's a good hire for Nebraska.
But what did we say? Is it going to be a great hire? Well, we'll find out. And I think that especially in an administrator role, because there's going to be things that you can discuss that have nothing to do with scheme, that have nothing to do with overall philosophy, with how you're going to oversee your offense, how you're going to oversee your defense, all those things that, you know, we try to eat up from a football guy when we heard Matt Rhule talk. But when Matt Rhule talked, I remember people that were not maybe on board with the hire that walked away thinking, you got my attention. And he didn't, but that's the point. I'm not thinking that Troy Dannon was going to do that, nor did he need to. But that's why I say, yeah, I think everything was fine. Yeah. I think, you know, hit the correct notes and tones, and that was fine. But everything
yo-yo,
a year from now.
Yo-Yo Goofball on Twitter. That's fantastic.
I love that name.
Yeah. How could we forget about Dana Altman at Arkansas?
Well, there was that one. And that lasted 24 hours?
So the only part I've ever seen is the ending.
Yes, me too.
But how was the entirety of the press conference?
I do remember that. It was really awkward. Because even leading up to the hog call, he was, you could tell he was uncomfortable. He gave the rallying cry of, you know, what they're going to be and chasing championships and everything you'd expect from a coach. But you could just tell, and maybe it's just Dana's way, it was a little bit more stiff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing another big part of why he left was when he finally got wind of, their entire academic situation and that he was going to have guys that were going to struggle to be eligible, that he looked like he maybe inherited more of a mess. And so it was almost during, once you learned that and you kind of go back to listening to what he said, and he just never seemed overly confident with his message. And then you kind of found out why. It was that cross between very, very stiff Dana and probably the underlying worried concern, how the hell am I going to pull this off, Dana?
See, I was thinking with these press conferences, like Rule, for example, when we got our first taste of Rule, we're still getting that. That's actually who he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm a big fan of authenticity, okay? I want you to be the same person that you are in front of a microphone that you are in front of your team. It's kind of the same way I look like at Caitlin Clark, okay? On and off the field, sometimes you have to separate the persona. Mm-hmm. But we like authenticity. We don't like people that change because of us. And I also think of, you know, it wasn't the message. Like when Marcus Blossom was introduced to Creighton, it was a weird feeling in that arena.
Look who you're replacing.
It was just a very, very, it was like, you know, there wasn't an overwhelming standing ovation.
Yeah.
It was like, okay.
Hi, welcome.
Yeah. Well, not even that.
Yeah.
I mean, there really wasn't. So I looked at yesterday, and, you know, again, I'm a good fit for what Nebraska needs. A guy who, you know, he's kind of climbed the ladder. It became pretty apparent yesterday that Bob Bowlesby is a huge mentor in his life, and he should be. I mean, look at Bob Bowlesby's connection to the state of Iowa, whether at the University of Iowa or even at Northern Iowa, and he referenced him a couple of times. I actually thought it was for Troy Dannon in the state of Nebraska, where we're different. This place isn't for everybody. I thought it was it hit the right tone from the standpoint that it was clunky. It was a very clunky press conference. He's not super polished.
Mm-hmm.
His suit didn't fit so well.
That's what I noticed.
Like the end was a little crooked.
Yeah. He
the lapel pin.
You know what? It was, I think it was really good.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that Trev is very slick.
Yes.
Like he's very comfortable talking in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very smooth and... Mm-hmm.
That's his arena.
And sometimes, and I will say this, I've lived the majority of my adult life in the state of Nebraska. We don't like slicksters. You know what? We got a big city we live in, but I'm not so sure we like city slickers. Okay? They come in and they're like wheeling and dealing and they got these super fancy suits.
Yeah.
Okay? They didn't go to Lindley Clothing. They should have, but they went somewhere else and they spent way too much on a suit. And all of a sudden, they're telling us about ourselves. Okay?
Well,
they're telling us.
Low-hanging fruit.
But sometimes when we are attracted to... people in leadership that look and sound like us, and it's okay not to be super polished. Now I'm not saying that he wasn't.
He rolled up in sweatpants,
but you know, like it was kind of a clunky press conference. Now he was a lot better in the Q&A with the media. If you have not seen that, he was really, really good. Which leads me to believe that in smaller settings behind closed doors with either his team,
right,
or people of influence, or his coaches, he's going to be really, really good. But the couple of things, there's a multitude of things that he said yesterday. And he also has the advantage of, he's walking in. I said this from the jump. He's walking into a situation that's really better than any of his predecessors in terms of the job that you're inheriting. You don't really have to make a coaching decision on any of your major sports right now. Your biggest decision is... what's going to happen with a major project.
Which he knows very little about, apparently.
Which is not a surprise.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's not a surprise at all.
And I was actually very appreciative of that.
But he's walking into a really good situation. It's a good time to be the athletic director at Nebraska. However we feel about Trev, it's not like he burned the place down.
No.
Okay? There were some things that had to be fixed, but they were probably more Trev things. That's probably more on Trev than it is on the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So you bring in a new guy who's got an outsider perspective that has got big picture ideas, but also keeping it small town, that makes it a good fit for Nebraska. I like some of the stuff he said about the bigger picture on where Nebraska fits. I think he's a guy, first of all, it goes a long way, as we learned with Bill Moose in that Palatia, is... if the Big Ten doesn't like you, you're screwed. Okay? If the Big Ten does not, if the Big Ten thinks you're a phony, or you're just blowing a lot of hot air, or you're not in it to win it and playing the right way, they will push you to the kids' table. That's what happened to Bill Moos. They had no respect for Bill Moos. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just Kevin Warren. It was the rest of the athletic directors that, who in the hell is this blowhard who thinks he's just going to come in here and tell us our business? Okay, so they pushed him out. And then, you know, Nebraska all of a sudden was losing their seat at the table.
Yeah.
Trev started to reestablish that. And I think Troy Dannon, that's something he spoke of yesterday about keeping the seat at the table for Nebraska and the Big Ten. And then he looked at the bigger picture of what the future of college athletics, particular college football, is going to look down the road. So I thought it was good. It hit the right tones. You know, now it's time to go to work and, you know, figure out what is next. But man, it's not a bad job to inherit.
You use authenticity, and I think that is something especially here everyone's going to relate to. And I think that's probably the most accurate way to describe yesterday. I know the guy likes his water, likes to have bottles of water on hand at all times, too. He might be a sweater. I don't know. Could be a sweater.
He might be a sweater.
you know what? Him and Rink Mast.
Like, doesn't he look like a Nebraskan?
He does. No,
he might be an Iowan.
He really does.
Like, I look like a Nebraskan, but I'm... grew up in Iowa.
He absolutely 100% does. I think and going back to the stadium project, this is why I was actually appreciative that he said knowingly that he knew very little. And if you sort of fake that, because I think that is on a lot of people's mind of what are you abreast of? What types of things are going to be moving forward? What kind of announcements? Because I think if you go in even not fully embracing or even fully aware of all of the ins and outs of the new stadium project, he knew he was going to get asked follow-up question after follow-up question. You're probably then also put into a corner of trying to throw out some timelines, even though you could say, you know, we're not there yet. But if you are someone that is coming in fresh on this, which I think is the way to position yourself and make it public that's the case. If things tend to slow down, mm-hmm. if even certain aspects of the stadium project that it was originally proposed don't happen, or at least happen in the time frame that, you know, Trev wanted to sell it as, that's fine. Because now this is your project, and you are now you're having those discussions, but you're having them for the first time. But for a lot of those people, you're sort of rediscussing it. And you're going over maybe some of the things that they didn't like timeline-wise, or overall didn't like some of the schematics of how they're going to do this compared to that. You know, what are they going to do, the plan with the South Stadium, all of those things. So if you go in saying, yeah, I'm excited about this, I really do like this, okay, then people are going to want to know, okay, so then what is going to happen? You got a lot of things right now just getting into the job. That's one of them, yeah. But other things that doesn't need to consume you to where all of a sudden, hey, welcome to Nebraska. Okay, we need to know where people in the South Stadium are going to go. We need to know if this is all staying on the timeline that was originally proposed. There's more that he needs to be involved in right now than just that. That I'm glad that even if he didn't know a lot about it, like he said, he didn't pretend he did, because that was going to all of a sudden be all about that as well. The other part, I was curious about the conversations, because there was a name that was brought up when we were talking about potential athletic directors that could get a phone call, Pat Kraft. And we knew that Matt Rhule and his relationship with Kraft, we mentioned him twice during his press conference to kick off spring ball. And he kind of gave his state of the, you know, state of the union, if you will, to kind of calm the waters. We mentioned, I didn't think it was any coincidence that he mentioned Pat Kraft twice. Mm-hmm. Now we kind of understand a little bit more about the Pat Kraft-Troy Dannon relationship, where even though it wasn't Pat Kraft, Matt Rhule's boy, it's a guy that has a very close relationship that Matt Rhule also knows Troy Dannon to an extent, but also has a lot of confidence from a guy that he trusts and respects a lot in Pat Kraft, too. So I thought a couple of those things, especially during the Q&A, were kind of interesting. Everything else was, yeah, I thought he did a good job of presenting himself. I like his reasoning behind getting on a lot of the competition committees, not necessarily to be there to invoke change, but to know who the players are, to know who you need to align mm-hmm. yourself with to get things done. Things like that. It made sense. A lot of it just made sense.
So we'll get to the football project because as a Southie,
yeah,
I think I'm going to keep my seats for a bit. He also spoke out loud, spitted some truth that we know is real, but we don't really want to go there if you're a ardent college football or a college athletic person. He told you what we all tell you, and now you have a major athletic director that is telling you this, that the Big Ten and the SEC are going to rule college athletics from here on out. And it's okay to say that out loud because it's true. Mm-hmm. In college football, they've won 8 of the last 10 national championships. They get more TV money than anybody else. They're going to rule college athletics, and they're going to decide where college athletics is going, whether you like it or not. And he just happens to have moved from one future Big Ten school to another Big Ten school. And then the other thing that he did, which is not always a comfortable discussion around here, is the NIL. And I'm not saying you're completely against name, image, likeness and players getting paid and how important that is to reward, retain, and in some cases, recruit. Sometimes it becomes an uncomfortable conversation. Not because we don't understand the importance of that, but who is involved. Mm-hmm. People in 1890 are very polarizing. Okay, the Pete family is not for everybody. Matt Davidson certainly is not for everybody. But if you have a guy, and Trev was not this way, and what did I say right away? What did I say last week about NIL with a new athletic director, and we didn't know who it would be?
That it would be top priority. That they
well, no, it'd be completely different.
Right, the relationship would be, yes.
Trev butted heads with 1890. Trev's goal was to bring NIL in-house. You know, him and Davison did not have a very good relationship.
Yeah.
So you had that standing in the way, even though everybody knew how important the work of 1890 is and what the heck 1890 is doing to supplement the future of winning in the athletic department. It seemed like such a weird relationship. But it's a relationship with a very polarizing family and people that are involved. Now, if you have somebody that comes in and they immediately embrace that collective, you go, okay, maybe it changes the tone of how we look at people. And instead of trying to go, well, I just don't like that person, you go, boy, I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing because now there's a relationship that is building. Instead of choosing sides, Troy Dannon made a smart move. Knowing the landscape of college athletics, he chose the side of we got to get together. We got to be friends. We got to get together. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't. I mean, in a short amount of time, I can't imagine he's developed a relationship where he could go, ah, that guy is. But he understands the importance of the relationship. And I think all in all, from top to bottom, that will make Nebraska's NIL operation less clunky. That was such a wise move because of all the moving parts that are involved in it.
That
was the number one thing that was discussed yesterday by him.
And it was talked about a lot, either during the opening statements and then during the Q&A with the media. And when I think of things that just made sense, given the culture and what you described last week, too, of having sort of the heads butting when it came to the athletic department in 1890, to the point that you want to take it in-house. I was always curious, you know, is every coach seeing it that way too? That I do wonder, as he was talking about that, as he was saying he'll wear just as much 1890 stuff as he's wearing Nebraska stuff. I'm wondering how many conversations did he have with coaches as well? How much was that maybe from Chris Carberek? Jesus, I can't even say his name right, by the way.
But you said Jesus right. So
I didn't.
Well, I think, but let me stop you real quick before you continue. I think he got an indoctrination in Seattle about how important NIL is.
Absolutely.
So I think he had a strong sense of being at a power school, the relationship and the importance of that.
Yeah, and I do think that a lot of that, it trickles down from your previous experience, but, you know, does Chris Kaborik talk about that during the, hey, you know, what are the things that are facing Nebraska's athletic department right now? What are the challenges that are facing the athletic department right now? And I do wonder if that came up, that maybe there could be a little bit more collaboration when it comes to our collective and our athletic department. And so this is where I do think hitting the right notes. Not saying that Troy Dannon doesn't believe that, and he won't live that life. He won't follow through on that. That's also where I think you're sending a pretty strong message to the people that you know are going to impact the type of student athletes that you bring in and year out. If you truly do want to win in everything the way that, I mean, he just continued to hammer and hammer and hammer on, we will win, we will win, we will win, we will win. Okay, well, in this day and age, if you want to win, that roster has to look the part. And how do you bolster that roster? That's by having that good working relationship with your collective. So I feel like, again, it made sense the way that he threw that out, given, especially with what I've heard from you and other people around the collective, that it wasn't always this smooth operation, this smooth process that you would hope it would be for a university and an athletic department that's so well positioned when it comes to name, image, likeness.
Sean writes in about the little presser yesterday. It was okay. I rolled my eyes twice. He kind of lost me when he started saying we are going to win Big Ten championships and national champions. Just sounded like every AD pre-Trev.
Everyone has to say that.
Flaky Jake says, I couldn't do another press conference after hearing all of Trev's verbal diarrhea that he didn't mean one bit. Nope. This guy will probably be gone in 3 years. Who the hell cares what he had to say?
Wow.
That's a little harsh. We're
my kind of guy. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying
We've been hurt.
I like where he's at.
He strikes me as a guy that will be a background guy. He doesn't need to be front and center. Like, it's not the guy that opens the door.
I like that.
To the university. Like, he's the guy that is sitting, like, he's sitting on the Davenport.
Yeah.
In the front room when the door opens.
Two days in a row on the Davenport.
Hey, he also gets this. Football is king here. Okay, yeah. I don't care. Football is king. You can be very appreciative of John Cook, and you should.
Mm-hmm.
But football is king at Nebraska. Everything football. Matt Rhule opens the door to the university.
Yep.
You walk in, and the AD is sitting on the Davenport, and then there's the chancellor, and then there's the president, and then there's some academic buildings with some student athletes inside of those academic buildings. I mean, this is how it works. It was okay. He's a good fit, and I said this the other day on a different show. We probably, because of that athletic program, we spend way too much time talking about the role of the athletic director.
Yes.
And maybe it's because it's been so out of joint of either a poor person in leadership or just everybody's butting heads. But we have to make the shift. And I think this starts with the media, that now the focus is on the actual sports, the actual coaches, the actual players, the actual results, instead of the actions of the athletic director. And I think we will all be better for that. We can't ignore the athletic director at Nebraska. I mean, that's the ultimate power chair in the state. Used to be. I mean, I think the governor is now kind of... Yeah, governor is heavily involved.
Yeah.
If Matt Rhule says, AD good, AD says governor good, are you okay on all these?
You have to be, right? If it starts with Matt Rhule,
no, I think that's
if it starts with Matt Rhule,
that's say, where the eye roll.
Who's checking off on it?
What you just said aside, I would say be an independent thinker. But you know, you get the people in power that say, right. "Yeah, good guy, good guy." You might go, "Are you sure about that?"
I just roll my eyes and say, "Just win."
But this is where you kind of shift to. Let's move the attention out of the athletic director job. Let the guy do his work, and now let's focus on the results. And when it's all said and done, and his press conference yesterday, and that role, we won't pay attention to the athletic director of football wins.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm going to admit this, we will pay attention to other sports, but we won't get as upset over other sports if they're not performing well, as long as football is king.
That's the
and
truth.
Football is doing well.
100%.
Yep.
That's what the University of Nebraska comes down to right now.
It sets the tone.
It's football is king.
Yep.
Whatever football wants, football's going to get. Fortunately, they've got a more mature person with a plan that as an athletic director, you can kind of just go, hey, whatever you want, you can have. I don't need to lead you. I'll just kind of be with you.
Yeah.
I got your back.
But if football is king, we don't really worry about much else. We could go to PBA and Your wife could be crocheting in the stands, but they go to the games. And if they lose,
they gave it a good effort.
Yeah, but you know what? We retained a quarterback. that's what this comes down to.
You're right.
About being the athletic director of Nebraska. We paid way too much attention because football has sucked.
Yeah, and this is the tone of the common fan. We hear, and we've heard over the last decade, every time you have a bad season, in football, that is. And basketball follows it up with maybe a sub-500 year, or baseball, sub-500. Maybe volleyball doesn't make the Final Four. You know what? I'm gonna put volleyball on its own.
Now, don't you think there's a trickle-down effect? I don't want to say, like, every other sport can suck. Right. As long as football is winning championships, I could care less. You know what? Just drop those sports, and let's just play football year-round.
Yeah.
But there is a trickle-down when your main sport has success.
No doubt.
Because it drives inside of that athletic department success. Success breeds success. Mm-hmm. I use Creighton as a prime example. I know some people just drove off a Dodge because I'm going to, what I'm going to say.
How is that different than other days?
This is a Bruce Rasmus thing handed off to Marcus Blossom. Success breeds success. If your flagship sport has success and they have a model, that trickles down where there's competitiveness inside of the walls of an athletic department, or there is a formula, or it just magnifies. You made some really, really good hires.
Absolutely.
And those people are doing their job. Now, we love volleyball. I love John Cook. John Cook's program is the most consistent winning program in mm-hmm. Lincoln, but it can't be your flagship program.
No.
But once football gets in a right spot where they consistently have success, I'm not saying win national championships, but consistently have success, and they don't go breaking you hot. It's still a great song. That song's got to be like in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
The Elton John song?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song.
By the way,
it's a banger.
Celebrated his birthday the other day. Absolutely. Banger song. But see, it just it trickles down. If football is good, success breeds success.
So I want to go back to 2018. You're 100% right. You're absolutely right. Volleyball, when they fall short, it's like, oh, they fell short of the Final Four. Oh, they didn't make the Elite Eight. But they've been successful long enough that you don't necessarily lose a faith, that you don't lump it into maybe the overall misery that you're seeing in the athletic department that set the tone from the football program not having success. I go back to 2018 because I got this a lot, and I mean a lot. That was, if you remember, a really bad baseball year too. And basketball was starting to struggle. So what happens when you get to January and basketball struggling? Everyone's like, well, how many days until the first baseball doubleheader? How many days for that first trip to Arizona? So people got so bent out of shape on basketball and the shortcomings there. And then baseball really, really struggled. Mm-hmm. And it all of a sudden didn't become a, man, baseball is bad. Boy, Darren needs to get this thing figured out. It became an athletic department thing. It became more about our athletics just suck. Football gives us nothing. Now basketball gives us nothing. And then baseball. And always forgetting, volleyball is pretty good. But to your point, that's not going to be on the top of people's mind. But the tone was set from football having a tough season, then to basketball, then to baseball. And everybody wants to lump it all in together of athletics and not just that independent season for that particular program that is struggling. For whatever reason, they might be struggling because their struggles could be different on why basketball struggled and on why football struggled, but people don't see it that way. They see a struggling athletic program when it comes to especially the men's sports. And they're like, well, will we ever have good athletics? Not will we ever have good baseball again? Will we ever have good basketball again? It's will we have good athletics again? Because what led it off? Football.
Yep. Mike emails me in the Equitable Bank inbox. He says, what about Omaha? Well, okay, so your flagship sport at Omaha is hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Good spot. Okay, they're in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's the signature of success of where they've been. They got to the NCAA tournament. And then you have men's basketball. I mean, truly, at Omaha, And you know, you look at their other sports, their Olympic sports are on a nice little run. They've got one of the best stories going in college softball with their softball program right now. They're 25-7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've won 14 in a row. Their soccer programs are in a good spot.
Yep.
Volleyball made the NCAA tournament. If they get hockey and men's basketball, right, where they're consistently a winner. Yeah, that just adds to, because in Omaha's case, I think it's down past the flagship sports are doing well.
Yep.
They just need the flagships to be good, and then they supplement each other.
Yep.
A lot more from what Troy Dandon said yesterday in Lincoln and what it means moving forward. A couple of days now away from Creighton's appearance in the Sweet 16 against Tennessee. More basketball coming up tomorrow night when the Sweet 16 gets started. How about chew on this little nugget, boys? Because we're gonna talk about why Baylor Shireman isn't recognized for one thing that I think he should be. But Creighton and Tennessee have been to 18 tournaments since 1985. They're like, I heard somebody perfectly explain the Detroit Sweet 16 Elite 8 regional as the breakthrough regional. Four teams that have gotten to that spot, but they've never been able to break through to get to the next spot. So I think that's a great line. I wish I remember who I heard say it yesterday, but they called it the breakthrough regional. Is Tennessee and Creighton have been to the tournament 18 times since 1985.
Mm-hmm.
They have been to one Elite 8 each. Both were a 6 seed. Creighton last year, Tennessee 2010. When they got to the game before the Final Four, they both lost by 1 point to a 5 seed.
That's eerie.
And people say that Omaha and Knoxville, Tennessee, we don't share anything in common. So we didn't have the World's Fair. But how about that?
That's kind of eerie. Yeah. That's and when you think of the breakthrough region, really the only representative in that region too that has done anything is the one that's probably considered to be the biggest underdog, right? In Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Creighton, Tennessee, and Purdue, because for all of the great teams that Purdue has had, they're part of that category as well. And so it's wow. In 2010 too is when that completely escaped me.
What they really should do in Detroit on Friday is they should have Bernard King and Baylor Shireman play a game of horse.
At Joe Louis Arena?
Boy, yes, no, there you go.
No. At Cobb Arena.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
You could still play at the Silverdome.
Go out to the site now. The Silverdome's been torn down. I don't know. They got to be building a mall out there or something. They still build malls. Just have them play a game of horse. Bernard King against Baylor Shireman.
What is going
or,
on?
Or Bernard King against Doug McDermott.
Aren't they doing something with the Silverdome?
No, they blew it up.
I knew they blew it up, but aren't they like, what are they doing with that land? That's a big part of downtown Detroit.
It's
going
to be
there.
The Michigan version of Mall of America.
Oh, there you go. Need more.
Again, welcome in, everybody, on a Wednesday. We got lots to discuss. The lineup brought to you by the Roof Reason, John Higgins, Weather Guard. Jordan Larson, Jordan Burroughs have joined the show in the past. We have an Olympian coming up at 8. Dylan Travis, who is the pride of Omaha Gross. He is going to the Olympics in the 3x3. That was announced yesterday. Dylan will stop by coming up at 8. Nate Lesner from the Nebraska basketball program at 8:30. Blaise Cada put his name into the portal yesterday. Yesterday was a busy day for the portal. Zeke Mayo at South Dakota State. St. Thomas, who good on him. Went to Loyola. Things got sideways last year with the coach. He came back to Omaha and the second semester, kind of hung out in Omaha, didn't know what he was going to do. Went out to Greeley, balled out this year in Northern Colorado. He's back in the portal, hoping to get a bump up to the Power 6 level. He went into the portal yesterday. It was a busy, busy day for portaling yesterday. But Nebraska put their third in the portal. Nate Lesner will join us. And we'll see if something happens today, because now they are done with team media, individual player meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these discussions, and remember, all portal entries are not created equal. There are some times where you are encouraged to go into the portal.
Right.
You may not just walk in and go, Coach, I'm going to the portal. Some coaches may say, you know,
there's options.
You know, you never checked your mailbox when you're here in Omaha. How about you check your mailbox somewhere else? So Nate will join us coming up at 8:30, and then Brandon Vogel stops by at 9:40. That is the lineup brought to you by the Rooferies at John Higgins Weather Guard. You can always join the conversation. How are we feeling after hearing the AD speak yesterday? You can call us on the 42 Degree The Source by your mom's house. hotline. Still have not met anybody that their mom lives next to 42 degrees. It'd be pretty cool if they would.
Someone needs to just chime in because it exists somewhere. One of you.
951-1620. That is a toll-free call if you're here in Omaha. We used to have an 800 number.
Yeah, toll-free. 800.
The 800 number is...
still got it?
827-7383. Wherever you may be in the world.
Toll-free.
Yes, but 951-1620 is the number to get in. You can always email us into the Equitable Bank inbox, where they take banking personally. Gary at 1620thezone.com.
Handley at 1620thezone.com.
Also on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, at Gary Sharp 1620.
At Nick Handley, 1620.
All right. Does college basketball need a villain? And does that villain live in Omaha? Because they have one in women's college basketball. We'll be back with more. It's Mornings with Sharp and Handley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.